Hello. And what is up, everybody? It's me, Marty the Meat Man here, your host of Cross Court Coverage, your all-NBA Celtics-focused podcast, proudly brought to you by the Primetime Productions. Primetimeproductions.net is the website. You'll find articles, you'll find podcasts, you'll find the merch store link there. God damn, there is some sexy clothing that you can buy to represent your favorite pods. You can represent the brand yourself. They got PTP beanie, PTP hats. Let me just pull this up and check this out. There's a beautiful cross court coverage shirt. If you haven't noticed, with the cross court coverage shirt, it is in Celtics font. We're gonna run that until we get a cease and desist. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean. If you know, you know. That's basically, it's one of those things. Let's see. If we go to primetimeproductions.net, got it starred here in my browser. Of course I do. And then you go up to the top right corner, you go to the store. If you also just want to, you know, pull it up on your own, it is primetime-productions.square.site. That will bring you directly to the merch store. Organized by all items, organized by podcast. There's a lot here. There's a lot to see. You got Only Sox. You got Only Bruins. You got Windy City Radio. You got PTP. You got Something's Brewing. You got Cross Court Coverage. You got the Redbird Report. You got Keldog's Doghouse. You got Starched MMA. If it don't make sense, it don't make dollars. Representing Primetime Parlay. You got it all located at one spot. That is primetime-productions.square.site, or go to primetimeproductions.net, click the store button. While you're at primetimeproductions.net, do not forget to check out any articles, any podcasts, anything. I mean, we're repping. We are deep diving into every sport at this point. Shout out to Four Dudes One Cart holding it down for PGA / Golf Lifestyle. Brand new pod coming out of PTP. Windy City Radio. Going to be a Chicago-based podcast. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. I don't know if it's going to cover one specific sport or not. Keldog's got something brewing. Ha! Not something brewing. Keldog's got something cooking over there. As always, Only Bruins, Something's Bruins, Drop the Mitts. Let's see. CCC, you know who we are, Cross Court Coverage. Only Sox podcast, brand new Red Sox podcast on the network. And the Red Bird Report, a brand new St. Louis Cardinal podcast. Yeah, we've been away for 2 weeks, so I just got to pump the content, pump the new coming out from PTP. As Pat Poolside Broadway Pat says, the fastest growing content machine this side of the Mississippi. He ain't wrong. He only tells the truth, unless you are trying to ride some of his bets. You could fade some of them. You can ride some of them. I don't know. Check out Primetime Parlay. Check out PTP Bets. I got a regular Thursday spot over there. I am in the red. Not doing well as of late. Started off on a heater and have come down crashing to earth since then. We are 8-9, I believe, on our primetime parlay bets. So we're on the climb. Call me Miley Cyrus, because we're up, the climb is real. is that plugging? Is everything else plugged? Did we get everything? Did I forget anybody? You got to do your due diligence. You take 2 weeks off. You go on a boat for a week. You got to make sure that you rep everybody. Don't want to leave anyone behind. This is fam. This is the gang. The gang's all here. Four Dudes, One Cart, Only Sox, Redbird Report, Starched MMA, Indie Bleeds Blue, Breaking the Plane, Drop Back Podcast, Cross Court Coverage, your favorite Celtics coverage. Drop the Mitts, Something's Brewing, Only Brewing, College Football Podcast, Windy City Radio, all of them can be located on primetimeproductions.net or on Twitter on X at primetimeprods. Give them all a follow. Give them all a like. Give them all 5 stars, because guess what? They're all beauts. If you're a fan of Shorzy, if you know anything about Shorzy, these podcasts, these people, they're all gyms. Fucking beauts. But I digress. You gotta pump up the fellas, pump up the ladies, pump up everybody. But where, how are we doing, Celtics Nation? How are we doing, fam? Because as you can tell from the title of the episode, rust. Go on a boat for a week, you get some water damage, some rust. How are we feeling, Celtics Nation? As you can see from the title of the episode, it's a little bit of a mixed bag with what I'm feeling, how I'm handling all this. Do I want to get right into the Celtics? Of course I do, but we got a structure. Larry lines these things up for me, and then we knock them down. So as always, the latter half of the episode is going to be talking about the Celtics, their current situation, the record, everything that's going on, the disappointment recently. But stay tuned. We'll be there quite shortly. Starting, though, to kick it off, to get back in the grind, the role, the everything of it all. Just a momentary reflection, look back. Like I said, I was on a cruise last week. Did not have an episode come out. Larry got the week off as well. I have no idea what the fuck he did with his time. But, you know, it was fun. It was, I don't know if I'd ever do it again. 7 days on a boat is a long time. Maybe 5 days next time. But we hit up Florida, Cape Canaveral. I think I stopped at a CVS there and then got back on the boat. Then we went to the Bahamas, which was hella fun. I've never been hustled harder for a pineapple full of liquor. But shout out to Grind Culture, because that's just how it is. $40 for unlimited drinks. Shout out Miss Shirley, who gave us the rest of the booze when she left the beach. I got fucked up. That's just the straight and narrow of it. It was fun. It was definitely fun. Hangover the next day was pretty ass. But then the cruise line has their own island, quote unquote. I have to say quote unquote because it technically is a landfill that they spent $500 million on restoring. You wouldn't know it was made of trash. It was beautiful. It was nice. We had a cabana chilling with Zion and CJ the Pelican. Not actually Zion Williamson or CJ McCollum, but like the Pelicans that were actual bird Pelicans were there, and I named them CJ and Zion because that's how my fucking brain works. But beautiful, wonderful weather. Bahamas was great. 10 out of 10 would do again. And then the last 2 days on the boat were all at sea. We had bad weather. They kept saying a low pressure system. I'm not a fucking meteorologist, so I just believed them. All I know is I felt like I was in the fucking movie Inception when the hallway started spinning, because every time I walked, it was like trying to grab on. I was Spider-Maning, basically, like upside down, fucking walking down the hallway. Didn't bother me all that much. It was just an interesting experience. But a lot of fun. We celebrated one of my buddies' 30th birthday, so Dirty 30. Cheers to Andy Bai. He doesn't listen, so that's just a shout out for the fuck of doing a shout out. But we're back. We're recharged. We're feeling good. And I miss this. I miss just spitting in front of the mic, talking about basketball, watching basketball. God, I couldn't get... I got a lot of March Madness while on the boat, but besides that, I didn't get to see much of the seas. Had to watch like highlights and stats and check out the apps and everything like that. But being home, being on dry land, being on solid soil is nice. Being able to watch the seas was kind of nice. This last week, again, we'll get into it, but so that's where we were. That's why there was no epi last week. Happy Sunday. I'm recording today on Sunday because we are still catching up. We are still getting back to the regular schedule programming, the regular work schedule, the regular everything. Sunday, March 31st. Happy Easter to those who celebrate. To those who are no longer Christian, like me, but raised Christian, happy Zombie Jesus Day. And to those of you who are not Christian or not religious at all, happy fucking Sunday. Happy fucking CCC is back Sunday. That's all. That's all we got to celebrate. Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's just dive into this shit. Starting off, the NBA injuries in the last 2 weeks read and are as follows. Let's see what Larry fucking wrote down. So our Thompson of the Pistons, dealing with a blood clot. He will be out for the rest of the season. Obviously, the Pistons aren't going anywhere. They've been eliminated from playoff contention since, what, fucking November? So, you know, take your time, figure this out. Blood clots are nothing to mess around with. Hoping that they can, you know, diagnose and remedy this and he can come back for next year healthy and better than ever. The Thompson twins are quite talented and I want to see both of them have successful careers. So, prayers up for Asar Thompson. Like I said, blood clot, nothing to fuck around with, something that should definitely be taken serious. We have seen, unfortunately, some careers be ended by such a situation. So hopefully, they can find a remedy and this young guy can, get back on the court sooner rather than later. Let's see. Jalen Hood-Schifano. Schifino. I never know how to pronounce his name, but JHS. Lakers. Had a back procedure. He's going to be out for 3 months. I don't know why they don't say season, because the Lakers aren't going to be lasting 3 months. But, you know, out for 3 months because they're being optimistic. Does it hurt the Lakers? Yes, because they're a play-in team and they need everyone healthy and they need all the help they can get. But he is a bench depth piece, rotational player. Bron and AD have to pick up a little bit of slack. Austin Reeves has been Austin Reevesing, made it a verb, very hard to do. I just don't see them playing deep into the playoffs. So 3 months, it should just say end of year, out for season, but. Whatever, Lakers, we'll just pretend. Pretending is fun. Everyone likes to pretend. Brandon Ingram, Pelicans. Actual person. Actual Pelicans NBA player. Not a bird I saw in the Bahamas. Bone contusion on his left knee, out for 2 weeks. So probably out for the rest of the regular season. Will be back for the playoffs, hopefully. Zion's been holding it down. McCollum's solid as always. Again, these are the basketball players now that I'm talking about, not the winged sea creatures from the Bahamas. Yeah, I mean, B.I. being hurt sucks, but the Pelicans are sitting pretty in their playoff spot. They're fifth in the West. They're not even a play-in team. They're quite comfortable. So as long as they can, you know, maintain to stay above water, for 2 weeks and then get BI for the playoffs, like, they'll be solid. I do see a decent push coming from them in the future. Let's see. LaMelo Ball, ankle injury. He's been out since January the 26th. They have finally deemed it an end of season injury. He will not come back this year. I mean, sucks, but the Hornets are out of playoff contention. They have been kind of like the Pistons. I said the Pistons were out of playoff contention in November. They were probably out of playoff contention in December. Yeah, I mean, LaMelo Ball, ankle injury. It feels like every year he's hurt. Feels like every year he's either putting too much of the team's shit-assness on his own back and having to carry, and it ends up being an injury. So maybe the Hornets should get some help over there. Stop hiring criminals and start hiring, you know, basketball players, and maybe LaMelo will be a little bit healthier going forward. That's my two cents. Quentin Grimes of the Pistons, knee injury, will need rehab, out for the season. Again, when you are eliminated from the playoffs in November, maybe even October, I mean, the fucking Pistons have, what, 13 wins on the season? That's ass. That's, like, so shit-ass bad. any injury that happens right now, just dub it end of the season, because you're not playing for fucking anything. Like, nothing. You are playing for zero. You might as well just take that 1-1 lottery spot and get your 13.758% chance of having the 1-1 pick, knowing the Hornets, they'll get butt fucked and, you know, lose their 1-1 pick to the Spurs, and the Spurs will get the number one overall pick and grab someone to pair with Wemby. But aside from bad luck, anyone injured on the Pistons right now should just be like, yeah, I'm done for the year. We're bad. Let's figure it out next year. Quentin Grimes, good young player. Hopefully, you know, the rehab goes well. Hopefully the Pistons can try and figure some shit out in the offseason, and, you know, they can come into 2024, 2025 with hopes of cresting 20 wins. Because pathetic. It doesn't explain it enough. It's just sad, man. Like bad, sad movie, tear jerking sad. Malik Monk of the Kings has a sprained MCL in his right knee. It is to be determined how serious that sprain is, and then it will be to be determined how long he will be out due to the severity of his knee injury. Thank you, Larry, for sparing no detail on that injury. Kevin Hoyter of the Kings, dislocated left shoulder and a torn labrum. Again, to be determined. Either the Kings don't know what their injuries are or how long they're going to last, or Larry can't read. I'm not sure, but we're rolling forward with it. Two TBD King injuries, Kings being a playoff team. So, I mean, Malik Monk and Hoyter, while not necessarily starters, they are solid, you know, rotational pieces. They are good three-point shooters. I won't say they play great defense, but they play decent defense. So definitely could be a stretch of difficulty losing two players right before the playoffs. And TBD, who knows? Maybe they're out for season. Maybe they come back tomorrow. Thank you, Larry. And the final injury on the list, Bilal Coulibaly, Wizards, right wrist fracture, out for season. Let's just run this down again. The Pistons were eliminated from the playoffs in November. Who's the other shit-ass team? The Hornets were eliminated from the playoffs in December. I think the Wizards were also eliminated from the playoffs in December. I know these are all hyperbole, but goddammit, look at their records and tell me I'm wrong. Coulibaly is a great young player, great rookie. Stuck on a shitty team. It's a wrist injury, so hopefully, you know, he gets like some either arthropathic. Can't do it. Can't find that fucking word in my brain right now. Hopefully he gets some cleanup surgery. Can, you know, make sure that the wrist is all set to go and ready to roll for next season. The Wizards, dude, they are far and away from being a good team. The Jordan Poole experiment sucks. The Kyle Kuzma experiment still sucks. Guess what? It wasn't all the injuries. There was actually one more written down. Christian Wood, Lakers, left knee surgery, out for the rest of the season. He's been out since February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. Not to his knee, but, you know, to everyone else. I mean, it's not good. It's not bad. It's not ugly. Christian Wood is an interesting character, an interesting player. You know, he's got like promise. He's got this ceiling that hasn't been tapped yet. He hasn't reached it yet. But injuries have plagued him. Playing time has plagued him. It sucks that he's out for the rest of the season. He won't see any playoff action if the Lakers actually make a push. But how deep do we really think the Lakers are going to go? Like, let's be for real for a minute. What did I unplug? What did I break? Okay. Well, those are all the injuries. That has covered all the bases over the last 2 weeks. There was a Donovan Mitchell nose fracture, but he is back and ready for action. So while that did happen while we were away, he is back. So there's no real reason to report it. moving forward to league news. Jonte Porter, Raptors. All right, so I got to be real with you. I didn't know this motherfucker's name until this story broke. I've never heard of him. I was not familiar with his game. That is not me saying I owe you respect. I'm sorry. I wasn't familiar with his game. I don't owe you shit. You are a dumb motherfucker. The NBA is investigating him for irregularities in prop betting. Apparently, Jonte Porter had like a whole Discord server, had like a whole betting odds server or what the fuck ever. Basically, he would bet 10 to 20,000 randomly, random accounts would be betting $10,000 to $20,000 on Jonte Porter stats. That just stinks of fucking collusion. That just stinks of, one, illegal betting, insider trading, whatever you want to call it. But two, like, no one knows who the fuck you are, dude. Like, maybe if you were Bron Bron, or maybe if you were Luka, or maybe you were anyone with any kind of name notoriety or recognition, this would have gone under the radar a little bit more. But if you see, if I'm DraftKings, if I'm FanDuel, if I'm BetMGM, if I'm any of these fucking sports books, and I see anyone betting a dollar, let alone $10,000 on Jonte Porter, I'm raising the red flag. Like, what the fuck is this? Who the fuck is making bets on Jonte Porter of the fucking Toronto Raptors? Who the fuck is Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors? Like, let's be real. The sportsbook was like, I didn't even know we had odds on this guy. Yeah, he's going to get over one assist, over one rebound. Should have moved that line up to two. Damn. Like, I don't know. It's very blatantly in your face dumb for him to be trying to skate by and make all these prop bets either for himself or to make other people money or have other people place bets for him and like getting a cut of the cash. I don't know how the fuck it worked. This whole thing, let's just back up for a second, because I know I'm shitting on Jonte Porter, but this whole thing, you got to back up and just look at it. The NBA and a whole bunch of other leagues, honestly, are looking at all these situations and going, why are we having so many problems with our players gambling? Well, maybe if you didn't have every game brought to you by DraftKings, brought to you by FanDuel, brought to you by BetMGM, brought to you by XYZ Sportsbook. And I'm not knocking sportsbooks. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a gambler. I, you know, throw a couple dollars, a couple fucking 10-cent bets here and there. My gambling is so minuscule, it's ridiculous. But that's what you do. You're supposed to bet within your means. But when you got players who have the same availability of just signing in with an email or telling their cousin's brother's sister's mom to sign up and say, hey, like, put a bet down and I'll take 80% of it because I'm playing in the game. Like, obviously, you're going to run into issues. Obviously, you're going to run into players being like, I can fuck the system. We need to be more aware. There needs to be a harsher punishment lined up. There needs to be clearer rules on all these things, because until then, we're going to get Pete Rose's. We're going to get Shohei Ohtani's. Oh my God, did he say that? Yeah, I believe Shohei Ohtani bet $45 million on himself. Yes, I do. Because why the fuck wouldn't you? It's just, you know, you're enabling. You don't want these things to happen. You don't want your players to be colluding or screwing with the integrity of the game or anything like that. But then you also just keep shoving these companies and these sports books and this new gambling is legal in XYZ state down everyone's throat. Obviously, they're going to get the itch. Obviously, they're going to want to be like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry, like every other Sally, Sarah, and Molly. I don't blame them for trying. I think they're dumb. I don't blame them from trying, but I do think they're stupid for trying to game the system, because at the end of the day, it will come back to bite you in the ass. You're not going to get away like a Jonte Porter. You're going to get caught like a Calvin Ridley from the NFL. You're going to get caught like a Shohei Ohtani from the MLB. You're going to get caught. And yeah, it's gonna be a giant, giant black line right across the top of your Hall of Fame or career or your prestige or anything like that. Look at Pete Rose, one of the best baseball players ever, will never be in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball. Never going to be in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball. You want to be that? You want to lose all credibility just because you want to make an extra? You're getting paid millions of dollars to play a children's sport, dude. Millions of fucking dollars. Okay, maybe not millions of dollars if you're a bad player. You're getting paid hundreds of thousands of fucking dollars to play a children's sport, dude. You don't need the gambling money, I promise. Put it in a 401k. Put it in stocks. Buy a fucking CD from the bank. Not a compact disc. That's a certified deposit. Something like that. I'm not a fucking banker. I don't know fucking stocks. Anyway, just be smart. Don't be stupid. What are we doing here? But at the same time, Adam Silver, how about you be a little bit smarter? How about you stop cramming sports books down everyone's fucking throat? I know there's money in it. I know you're getting revenue. I get it. But at the same time, if you want the rules to be followed, maybe don't dangle the fucking carrot in front of every goddamn rabbit's face. Maybe that's just asking for it. So, yes, leagues, NBA, MLB, NFL, the National Cricket League, I don't give a whatever league you are. Be smarter. Just stop, you know, forcing the promotion of sports books. I get it. There's money in it. But the more you tout that, the more you dangle the carrot, the more you're going to grab the idiots who think they can one-up you and try and be a Jonte Porter or try and be any of the other guys I listed before. So let's all just wise up together, both players, leagues, everyone. Leave it to the Joe Schmoes who are betting 15 cents on a under of 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists for Zion Williamson. Ha, I made like $3 off of that. Thanks. Or the guy who bets $1 for the Celtics to cover 16.5 against the Hawks and they lose by 2. Leave it to me and my Joe Schmoes to bet our money, all right? If you're in the NBA and you try and gamble on yourself or on anyone else in the game, you're a moron, and you deserve whatever punishment and whatever mark on your permanent record because you're dumb. But at the same time, Adam Silver and everyone else involved, let's tame ourselves a little bit, because you're creating your own problem. And that's all I really have to say on that. Speaking of gambling, the Timberwolves are no longer for sale. What the fuck happened there? A-Rod and Mark Lohr were given a deadline, I believe, of noon a couple days ago to get their final bid in, to put the final money down, to nut up or shut up, and they didn't. And they also had like a clause in there for an extension if they couldn't meet that deadline, and they didn't meet the needs of that clause. So guess what? They're out. The owner of the Timberwolves said, kick rocks with no socks. Team's not for sale. And now we are stuck in this ownership. While I do think that Mark Lohr and A-Rod have fumbled the bag, it would have been a smart thing to buy the Wolves right now. They are on the up and up. They are number one in the West. They are climbing. They are solid. They look good for the future. For it to stay in this ownership, the ownership that won't retire Kevin Garnett's number, the same ownership that almost ruined Kevin Garnett's playing career, the same ownership that basically let the Lakers take those rings, just be like, yeah, those are your banners. You were the Lakers in Minneapolis, so we'll start over. Ass. Lakers have 12 fucking championships, if you ask me. If you ask anyone who knows ball, the Lakers have 12 championships, but they all pretend they have 17 like us. That's fine. I don't have much else to report on this except for the fact that the Timberwolves are now stuck. The owner's the same. I don't know if they're going to reopen sale this summer or next year or anything like that. I don't know if Mark Lohr and A-Rod are even allowed to come back and try and bid again. I don't know the situation. I got like a couple $100, maybe I could get you like, give me a week. I could scrap together like about $1,000 if you want to sell me the Timberwolves for $1,000. I got you. Or if anyone hears that and says, "Wow, Meat Man can throw down $1,000," I'll spot the other $3 billion. Then thick, let's get together. We'll be partners. But we'll see. I don't really know what it means for the Timberwolves. All I know is the ownership stays the same, and A-Rod catches another fat L. As much as I love A-Rod as a Yankees fan, oh my God, he's a Celtics Yankees fan. Yeah, we've done this. We've done this before. We're going to keep doing it for the rest of my goddamn life. But a big fat L for A-Rod here. Let's see. The next bullet point we got. NBA is shutting down the G League Ignite team. I mean, it makes sense. The G League Ignite team basically was the team that started it all, that really solidified the G League prospect pool and everything like that. But now more and more teams have their own G League team, more and more representation in the G League for everybody. So I think that having just an NBA G League Ignite team is no longer necessary. There's also a lot of money in the NIL's name, image, and likeness deals in college basketball. So there's no point in the NBA trying to fund this, trying to carry their own G League roster. If you're gonna go in the G League straight from the draft, or if you're gonna go into not from the draft, from high school, or if you're gonna go straight into college, I mean, that's your choice. Let it be yours. But you're not going to Ignite. This is not going to happen. Let's see. Oh, there was an altercation. I don't even know if you could fucking call it that, Larry. There was an altercation between Jabari Smith Jr. and Chris Dunn of the Jazz. Chris Dunn was suspended for 2 games, and Jabari was suspended for 1 game. These men gotten a little bit of an argument, a little jersey tugging. Chris Dunn threw a punch, missed. Jabari Smith threw a punch / pushed him off of him, missed. And they got suspended 1 and 2 games, respectively. Chris Dunn with the 2 games. What the fuck are we doing here? Like, do I think it's dumb that these guys got into a little squabble, a little bit of a hand fight on the court? Oh, yeah, of course. Do I also think it's stupid that they just didn't get texts and, you know, sent home for the night? Yeah. You're going to give Chris Dunn, who literally, yeah, he threw a punch. That's all you can say that he did. He didn't punch anybody. He threw a punch. And you're going to give him 2-game suspension. Why do I care about 2 games for Chris Dunn? The only reason that I care about 2-game suspension for Chris Dunn in throwing a punch and not connecting with anyone is because that's 11% of Draymond's fucking suspension. For choking Rudy Gobert the fuck out and dragging him across half a court. He was suspended for 18 games. 11% of that is 2. What are we doing, Adam Silver? Like, make it make sense. Why are we strict on some things, some events, some people? And then on other things, we're so blasé, blasé. A grown man choked someone out on national television. You gave him 18 games. A different grown man throws a punch, doesn't connect with anyone, gave everyone a giant whiff of air, big fan, and he gets 2 games for it? Be serious. Let's be serious. Come on. And don't even get me started with all the other shit. The DV, the SA, the all of it. And then half those guys don't get suspended at all. Half those guys see minimal punishment. We need consistency in the way that we regulate. That was the word I was looking for. The way we regulate this sport. Make it consistent. Make it make sense. Timetables should not be up for just like it's just nuanced. It's so arbitrary. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a question mark. Spin the wheel. That's basically what it is. Let's spin a fucking wheel of fortune. Wheel of Misfortune. How many games are you going to get suspended? I don't know. Brrr, two. Cool. But also, if I'm Jabari Smith and I'm Chris Dunn, if you're going to get suspended for a game or two for doing fucking nothing, you might as well make those punches connect. I'm not condoning violence. I'm not saying we need fighting in the NBA. But if you're going to get suspended for trying to punch somebody, you better hit them. You better connect, because that's just embarrassing. You got to sit 2 days on your ass because you missed a punch. You're getting clowned by everyone on your team and everyone in the media and everyone on cross-court coverage. I promise you, if you miss your fucking punch and get suspended for two games. God. Fun fact of fun facts, I guess. TJ Warren, who has been on like seven day/10 day contracts, is finally getting a full contract for the rest of the season with the Timberwolves. Good to see that the Timberwolves can sign a deal with somebody. You know, they can figure out their money situation with somebody. Thanks for that, Larry. A little just random fact, a little whatever. The news is the news. We've been gone for 2 weeks, so might as well cover everything. I mean, the rest of this. Hand up. Meatman's got to eat crow. Meatman's got to fucking put his foot in his goddamn mouth. Victor Wembanyama is fucking good at basketball. Is fucking an NBA star. Is, dare I say it, a generational fucking talent. These next news, it's like Wemby's fucking, we got a Wemby watch over here. The rest of these fucking factoids that we've missed in the last 2 weeks. So let's see. Victor Wembanyama joins David Robinson. It's Robertson. Larry. David Robinson, only rookie ever to have 30-plus points, 15-plus rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 blocks in a game. Let's see. Wembanyama, first rookie to break the 300-plus combined blocks and steals in a season. First person since Shaq in 1992 and 1993. His Shaq had 346 in his rookie career. Wemby's got some time left, but he is currently at 304 combined steals and blocks. Victor Wembanyama is the first rookie since Shaq to record a 40-point, 20-plus rebound game. Shaq did it with 46 points and 21 rebounds in 1993. When you are being compared to David Robertson and Shaquille O'Neal, two of the best big men to ever play in the fucking NBA, not even being compared to, you are forcing the comparisons because you are doing things that they did in their time as rookies. You are generational. You are a fucking alien. Get Katy Perry and, what was that, Katy Perry and Kanye, or is it Katy Perry and Jeezy? You're so hypnotizing, whatever that fucking song is. E.T. phone home, motherfucker. Like, Vic Wembanyama. Wemby. The alien. Generational fucking talent. Eating crow is the meat, man. I was fucking wrong. Scoot Henderson doesn't hold a fucking candle to this guy's flame. Scoot Henderson doesn't even deserve to be in the conversation of this guy's flame. I said Scoot Henderson was going to be fucking rookie of the year. How wrong can someone fucking be? Whatever. Wemby, hats off to you, dude. You are a freak. I still think you need to size up a little bit. I think if you put a little bit of weight on those bones, you get a little more size, you're going to be fucking insane, dog. Not to say that you aren't insane right now, but like crazy, crazy. But he deserves his flowers. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the hype. All right, do we want to go into standings? I think I want to keep talking NBA before I get into the Celtics, because if I talk about the Celtics, the whole vibe of this fucking podcast is going to go from where we are right now, right here, electric, fun, having a good time, back to the fucking grind. And it's going to go straight into the sewer. Not completely, but you know what I mean. If you've been watching the Celtics, which I assume you do if you listen to cross-court coverage, love y'all, but if like you're not watching the Celtics, then what the fuck are you listening to me for? I'm kidding. I support everyone who is any fan of any team anywhere. I love you. Appreciate you. Please keep listening. But for real, like, if you haven't seen or you haven't kept tabs on the Celtics in the last 2 weeks, you know where I'm going. So we're still going to put a pin in it. I'm sorry. Margaret, at the 40-minute mark, we're going to keep delaying the conversation. The MVP ladder. 2 weeks ago, we covered it. There have been updates. Not at the number one spot. It's still Joker. Nikola Jokic holds number one. He's going to be your MVP again, guys. I just don't see anyone passing him. I just don't. That being said, Luka is now at second. He's moved up two spots from four in the last 2 weeks. SGA is at three, down one spot. Giannis at four, down one spot. Tatum parked at five. I want that $5 bet back, but, you know, that's what it is. I love you, JT, but MVP status we are not pushing right now. That is not the agenda we're going for, I guess. Domantas Sabonis, sixth, parked there from 2 weeks ago. Kevin Durant is at seven, up one spot. Devin Booker up two spots at eight. AD, Anthony Davis, parked at nine. You know what? I know that he's not going to be MVP. I know that he's not going to, you know, crest probably the top five. But little clap, little flowers, little, you know, hat tip for Anthony Davis. He's been relatively healthy this season. And I said it, if you get a healthy AD, he's a goddamn baller. And he's been in the MVP race since, I don't know, the second half of the season. He's been on fire since All-Star break. He's been solid. He's been good. He's been healthy. He's been playing. Lakers are counting their lucky fucking stars. Or they should be, at least. And then at 10 to round off the ladder is Kawhi, down two spots from 2 weeks ago. Just a comment on not Kawhi necessarily, but the Clippers. I love you, Ty Lue. And I never thought I'd ever fucking say that. But for a head coach to come out here and say, yeah, our team has an identity. It's soft. What a real motherfucker. What a guy to just come out here. And it's like, that's some Jim Montgomery shit. I don't know if any of you are Bruins fans as well, but to come out and shit talk your team, to fire them up, to be honest, to be real with the media and just be like, yeah, we're fucking soft. I've been saying it all year. But the head coach now confirms it. That's just, thank you, Ty Lue. Thank you for making me feel seen and less crazy than I fucking am, but whatever. Let's see. The standings as they are. And then we'll get to the Celtics. I promise. We are not going to forget to talk about the Celtics. I just don't fucking want to. First in the East are the Boston Celtics with a record of 58-16. Second place is the Bucks. They are back 11 games. Third place, the Cavs, back 13 games. Fourth place, the Knicks, back 13.5 games. Fifth place, the Magic, back 15 games. Sixth place, the Pacers, 16.5 games behind. Seventh place, the Heat, 17.5 games behind. Eighth place, the Sixers, 19 games behind. Ninth place. I felt like I just said ninth place. Eighth place is the Sixers. Ninth place is the Bulls. 23 games. Jordan! 23 games behind first place. And 10 is the Hawks at 24 games behind first place. There is only one team banging on the door trying to make it into the play-in, ranked at 11th, is the Nets, who are 29 games behind. They are 5 games behind the play-in. I don't think that they're going to make it, but dear God, if I wanted to see one team fail and fall out, it is the Hawks. So please let them go on a losing streak and let the Nets go on a winning streak. Eliminated from playoff contention in the East are the Raptors, the Hornets, the Wizards, and the Pistons. We talked about this. These teams have been eliminated since the fucking tip-off of this season, basically. But I digress. In the West. Gotta take a sip of coffee. Yeah, keep this energy up. In the West, there is a tie for first place. Both teams have 51 wins and 22 losses. The Wolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder are duking it out. Not to mention, in third, the Nuggets are only 0.5 games back. The West is tight. The West is crazy tight. The Clippers are at 4-5 games behind first place. The Pelicans, 5th in the West, 6.5 games back. The Mavericks, 6th, 7 games back. The Suns, 8.5 games behind first place at 7. The Kings are in 8th in the West, 9 games back. The Lakers, 9th in the West, 10.5 games back. The Warriors, 10th in the West, 12 games back. And the Rockets, banging on the door, have a chance of making the play-in. I don't know who falls out, but they're only 13 games back. They're one game behind the Warriors at 10. They are 2.5 games behind the Lakers at 9. They are 4 games behind the Kings at 8. Like, the Rockets, while the Nets have to go on a winning spree and need, like, the Bulls or the Hawks to lose out, the Rockets, they're fighting for it. They're right there. They're just a couple good games and a couple bad games, a couple good games for them and a couple bad games for another team. They're in the play-in, which is kind of crazy. Shout out to the team, not their coach. Fuck you, Ime, as always. Eliminated from playoff contention, the Jazz, the Grizz, the Blazers, and the Spurs. It is insane to see the Spurs so far down on that list with how insane Victor Wembanyama is, but really he is the whole team. I mean, Jeremy Sochan is over there and he's fine. He's great. Vassell is over there. He's fine. He's great, but they need a lot of help. A lot. So being in the lottery, being one of the, maybe pick one, pick two, pick three. This is all randomized, of course. I'm not saying based off their record, they're pick one. But, you know, having an early pick this draft, you got to get someone to compliment Wemby. Fuck everyone else on that team. You got to compliment Victor Wembanyama. I don't care who it is. You get the best player that fits his scheme. You build around Wemby. Now, it's time for some Celtics talk. While we were away, the Celtics played the Wizards, and I said we were going to beat them, and we did. 130 to 104. The Celtics needed to beat the Pistons. I actually asked them to beat the brakes off of them, and they did pretty well. They beat them 119 to 94. I got that right. I said the Celtics were going to beat the Bucks. We did. 122 to 119. We did give up a giant lead and almost blow that game. And there was no Giannis. So that's a little concerning, but we still got a win. A win is 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 a win. We play the Pistons again. Again, asked for the breaks to be beaten off this team. We beat them by 27, 129 to 102. Got that correct. We play the Bulls. And we got a win, like I predicted. 124 to 113. Then we played the fucking Atlanta Hawks. Twice. Larry forgot to mention that we played them twice. Larry only marked down that we played them once, but I predicted wins. I would have predicted two wins. It doesn't matter that Larry forgot to mention that they played us twice, because we lost both those fucking games. They have no Trae Young. Which, honestly, if I'm going to, before I digress into the situation, the feelings, the vibes about those games, the Hawks don't need Trae Young. Like, that's what I learned. It's like, they have a pretty fucking solid roster without Trae Young. Sadiq Bey is out for the rest of the season, and they beat up on the Celtics twice in 1 week. If I'm Quinn Snyder and management, I'm looking to get money, to get picks, to get whatever the fuck it is. Get Trae Young the fuck out of Atlanta. You don't need him. The first game, the Hawks beat the Celtics 120 to 118. The Celtics blew a 30-point lead at halftime. Fucking beautiful. And then the next game, we lost 123 to 122 in overtime. And we never pulled away in that game. That was just a close game the whole fucking time. DeJounte Murray decided to be fucking Kobe goddamn Bryant. What to say? So, like, caveat, parentheses, asterisk, whatever you want to fucking say. We are number one. We are the only team in the NBA who clinched the fucking playoffs. We are the only team who clinched their fucking seed in the playoffs before any other team clinched the playoffs themselves. I get it. The Celtics are a wagon. We are great. We are doing fantastic. It is just the regular season. It doesn't matter. But at the same goddamn time, what the flying goddamn fuck? What the absolute shit-ass fuck were those two games? You're winning by 30 at halftime. And this is like, this is one of those things where it comes down to what's your identity? Who are you? It is the end of the season. You should be locked in. You should be ready to roll. We should be healthy. And I get it. Joe's trying. He's mixing up the rotations. He's trying this. He's trying that. He's, you know, saving the timeouts again. He's trying to, you know, really fuck around with the game and be cute. Nobody wants you to be cute right now. Nobody wants you to lose to the fucking Hawks, who are in 10th place in the fucking East, who are 24 games behind you in the standings. Nobody wants to see that, Joe. Nobody wants to see that, JT. Nobody wants to see that, JB. Nobody wants to see that, KP. I know Drew only came in for the second game, so I can't really yell at you. And I know D. White missed the first game, so I can't really yell at him. Nobody wants to see that, Sam Hauser. Nobody wants to see that, Peyton Pritchard. Be fucking serious. If you want to be the team to beat, if you want to be the team that raises Banner 18, if you want to be that team, be fucking serious. We can't be blowing 30-point leads. Ever. Should never be blowing a 30-point lead. We shouldn't be giving a team a franchise record of comeback. The Hawks have never come back from a 30-point deficit. Guess what? Now they fucking have. Thank you, Celtics. And I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like, I am like, I get it. I understand. This is all in a bubble. The sky is not falling. We are still the best team in the league. We still have one of the best rosters I've ever fucking seen. I am not worried about where this team can go. But the attitude, but the mentality, but the you can't let anyone think that they got a chance against you. You can't let the 10th team in the fucking East think that they got a chance in a 7-game series against you. Because guess what? Now, if we end up playing the fucking Hawks in the first round of the playoffs, they have no reason to think that we should win a 7-game series. They're going to come correct. They're going to come hot. They're going to come ready. They got their script. They know what to fucking do. Now, I'm not saying we can't correct ourselves. I'm not saying we can't get it right. I'm not saying that we can't come in and punch some motherfuckers right in the face, metaphorically. Please don't get any suspensions, guys. But let's be fucking serious. Let's treat these final games of the season as a springboard into the playoffs. Let's go into the playoffs healthy and hot. This isn't time to take days off. This isn't time to give it half-ass effort. This isn't time to be experimenting. Play your experimental game should have been against the fucking Spurs, Blazers, Grizz, Jazz, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, Pistons. Those are the games where you fuck around with the lineup. Those are the games where you get cute with it. Those are the games where you load manage. But if there's a chance that you're going to play this team in the playoffs, whether it's leading up to the Eastern Conference Finals, whatever round it may be, or if it's a Western team that could be versing you in the goddamn finals, come correct. Come aggravated, come pissed off, come wearing that number one seed on the fucking front of your chest saying, come get it. Don't blow a 30-point lead. Don't go to overtime. Don't act like you aren't as good as you fucking are. Don't fold under pressure, because that's terrifying. To see that and know that the playoffs are only, what, March 31st? Yeah. To know that the playoffs are only, there's 16 days left in the regular season. There are 16, if you count today, 17. There are 17 days left in the regular season. Act right. Get, you best be either making sure everyone's healthy, and that's the only reason we're fucking losing. If you're load managing and playing second, but we're not. Which JB, JT, KP, they all played that whole fucking game, the second one. Drew played that whole fucking game, the second one. D. White played that whole game, the second one. Come correct or don't come at all, is all I'm saying. And I know that Joe knows that, and I know that JT and JB know that. But for whatever fucking reason, two games this week, folded under pressure. Sad. Pathetically folded under pressure. Let DeJounte Murray feel like he's him. But he wouldn't stop fucking banging his chest and screaming at the end of that goddamn game. I felt like motherfucking CeeLo Green. I don't know if you all have League Pass and you saw that halftime show, but he said, fuck you so many goddamn times on NBA TV. He said, fuck you so many times. And I just know Adam Silver didn't see that until like the very end, because then they were like, pull it. And they went straight to like the ball boy, and they were like, oh, goddamn. Hope no one noticed. I noticed. But at the end of that game, I was, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I see you riding around town with that girl I love. I said, fuck you. I hate Atlanta right now. I hate the fucking Hawks right now. And they didn't even have Dirty Lollipop Boy. I don't know if he makes them better. I don't know if he comes into the lineup, into the squad, and makes them better in the playoffs, because they look pretty fucking good against us without him. But there's a chance that he makes them better, and that's terrifying. In a 7-game series, this should be a sweep. It should be a gentleman's sweep. It should only be 4 or 5 games. Now these motherfuckers think they can take us down in 4 or 5 games on their own, which means that it's probably going to go to get fucking 7 games. I don't need 7-game series in round one of the playoffs. Celtics, we don't need it. You want to coast comfortably and in control coast, not fucking putting in bad lineups or shitty rotations and seeing what works. That's all I got to say. At this point, that's all I got to say. Because guess what? They came back yesterday, Saturday the 30th, and they beat the Pelicans. I got that prediction wrong. I thought that the one game we were going to lose last week was the Pelicans. We beat the Pelicans. Good job. I'm happy about that. We finally beat a Western team who's fucking in the playoffs. Nice. Stay in that mojo. We have a game against the Hornets tomorrow on April Fool's Day. My God, if we lose on April Fool's Day, I'm going to Gronk spike this fucking MacBook so goddamn hard off the 5th floor of my goddamn building. It's not like we'll never be able to record again. That's just we're going to win that game, because I don't know what my mental health is going to be if we lose that game. Then we have the Thunder on the 3rd. We need to win that game. We've had a shitty run of playing against Western teams this year. We need to win that game. And then we have the Kings on the 5th, and we need to win that game. Let's just put it that the Meat Man predictions are going to be W's from here on out, because we need to go into the playoffs on a win streak. We need to go into the playoffs correct. We need to go into the playoffs strong. We need to go into the playoffs ready to roll, ready to rumble, with teams afraid of us. You're not, if we started the playoffs right now, teams aren't afraid of us. They just watched us lose to the fucking injured Hawks twice, 1 week. Can't be doing that. So it's win streaks from here on out. Call me a homer. Call me a fucking whatever. We got the most wins in the goddamn league. All right. It's not the homer. We're 58 and 16. We're 58 and 16. It's not a homer pick to say that we're going to win. We're going to win out. That we should win out. We're that team. We are at that status. That's all I got to say. Again, the sky is not falling. I'm not extremely worried. It is just a vibes thing. You need to go into the playoffs hot and healthy. H&H. That's the branding from here on out. Hot and healthy to go into the playoffs. And then Banner 18 is no problem. If we go in with question marks, if we go in with injuries, if we go in with low vibes, that brings some question marks. That brings some issue. That brings some turbulence to getting to Banner 18. I still think that this team is constructed. Still think that this team has the leadership. I still think that this team has the coaching. I'm just saying, let's not add any fuel to anyone else's fire but our own. Stay hot, stay healthy, and it's a shoo-in for Banner 18. I'm good. We're good. Namas fucking day. All right? I loved being back. I'm so happy to be recording again. I missed y'all. I missed this fucking microphone. I missed yelling at Larry for his shitty notes. I missed all of this. Again. PrimetimeProductions.net is your site to find articles, podcasts, the shop, the merch store. Go cop yourself a Cross Court Coverage t-shirt. It comes in so many different goddamn colors. The text is in green right now. We're going to be looking into getting some more CCC merch. Pardon me. Up shortly, but for right now, there is just the, let's say, leprechaun font. Wink, wink, if you know, you know. Shirt right now. And with all that being said, God, I got myself all worked up. With all that being said, as always, I am Marty the Meat Man. We are Cross Court Coverage. You are my lovely, faithful, beautiful listeners. The Celtics are 58 and 16. There is only like two and a half weeks of basketball left. Sitting at the first seed in the East. Locked at the first seed in the East. Stay healthy. Stay hot. H&H all the way through the rest of the season in the playoffs. And if you believe in it, then you know what it is. Because it's out. Go Celtics. Or go fuck yourself. Peace.